You're listening to Rockers in Recovery Radio. If you'd like to find out more information, go to rockersinrecovery.com or Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, I'm John Hollis for Rockers in Recovery. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. And, of course, Rockers in Recovery has been around since 2008, and we are a media organization that's dedicated to carrying a message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community. Of course, we have a situation that is occurring, coming up here pretty rapidly in February. We are having the Rockers in Recovery Music Fest. You can go to rockersinrecovery.com and find out more information about that. And tonight we have a special guest with us. She has been in the world of music for a very long time. And most importantly, she is a lady that carries the message of hope in recovery, and also does it through her music, too. So we're going to bring Marge Raymond on, and we're going to talk to Marge about music and recovery. Marge, good evening. How you doing?
Good evening.
So glad you could call in and be a part of the show, and I'm so glad that you are somebody that can carry the message of recovery in the way that you do. But most importantly, you are somebody that not only is in recovery, but you're somebody that has that deals with family members that have issues with recovery, and you're able to stand strong and support other people through that process too. So I think that, you know, God blessed you with two gifts. What do you think, Marge?
Yeah, well, we all know that it's a genetic and horrific disease, and unfortunately most of us that have this disease know that there's usually another family member that has it, or or will come down with it, and it's important to know that there's hope and that the program does work. And then again, like they say in the preamble, there are those that have, you know, grave emotional and mental disabilities, and I have that in my family. But it's also, if you have that willingness and also the capability of being honest, you can achieve sobriety a day at a time. And just want everybody to know that there is a life out there you never knew existed, even though at this point some of you may be feeling that it's you're hopeless and helpless and at the end of your rope. That's the way I was when I came in. And there definitely is another world out there that's, you know, when you're in the throes of addiction, it's like being in hell. I mean, it is a horrible, horrible, horrible place to be. The despair and the just the cycle that we go through of you know, chasing whatever our, you know, substance of choice is. And it's the great taker away. Here in Brooklyn, we call it the undefeated champion of the world. You know, addiction is the undefeated champion of the world. You try to fight it. You try to control it. You try to, you know, go in the ring with it and, you know, maybe KO, there's no way. The only way you can win is by surrendering. So that's the way we get to be a winner in here, is by surrendering. And, you know, it does work. And there is a life out there that you never knew existed. I always talk to people in the program about we all have hidden talent. And a lot of us, because we've been in the throes of addiction for some people not a long time and some people for decades, and therefore they don't know anything other than getting high and achieving to get high. You know, it's the cycle that we go around. Getting high, coming down, trying to get whatever our substance is, and the same cycle over and over. So we don't know what we're good for. And I have seen so many people in recovery all of a sudden become phenomenal artists, great in like business. There's all these inborn talents that we have that The disease doesn't want you to know you have. It wants to control you, you know. So once you surrender and you regain your power, you get to see how great life can be. And we, you know, there's a huge support system. We're all in a big club. I like to call it the club. You know, we're in a club. I can go anywhere in the world and go into any room of recovery, AANA, CA, DA, PA, you know, all anything with the anonymous on the end of it. And I'm welcomed as if it's my family, because quite frankly, it is my family. You know, addicts really only can talk to another addict about how they feel and the fear that we're fear-driven. So the average person that doesn't have addiction, they don't know what we're talking about when we talk about fear, you know. So, but to another addict, oh boy, we all nod our head and we sure do know. So that's why it's very important to get yourself a home group, get yourself a sponsor, talk about everything that's on your mind, even if you think it's the stupidest thing in the world. Nothing is stupid to us because, you know, we blow things up big and out of proportion. And only really another person in recovery will understand it and can help you get through it, you know. So I'm so grateful to have my sobriety and to be able to carry the message with, and you know, being a musician as well. I mean, that's a rough area of an industry to be in. Now it's kind of like vogue to be, you know, sober and be a musician. But when I first came in, my sober date is March 26, 1982. I mean, it was insanity back then. 70s? Oh, my God. Into the early 80s, it was just everybody in the 70s was just, you know, getting high.
Off the chain.
On everything.
Off the chain. Yeah.
It was great.
What was it like? I mean, as far as the music aspect of it, let's do this. How did you get started in music?
You know, it was a luck factor. First of all, I'm very blessed to have a gift, which is my voice, my singing voice. It's just inborn. You know, I'm born with it. It was evident, you know, in report cards that my mother would get when I was in grade school. You know, I would get up in front of the class, I would sing, I would lead assembly. You know, I was just was something that was just inborn in me. And then one day, my era that I grew up in, you know, there's a lot of doo-wop singing on the corners and a lot of singing groups in Brooklyn, New York. So I started to just sing with a bunch of guys that were singing a cappella doo-wop, and I was discovered singing on a street corner. You know, it's that's busking, they call that now. And so a guy was driving by and he stopped and he said, oh my God, this group is phenomenal. And then they brought me up to a record label, and then the president of the label said, hey, wait a minute, we want to hear the girl. You know, I was singing background vocals. The guys really didn't let me sing the lead vocal. Maybe I had two lead vocal, you know, songs I could sing out of like 100. And then as soon as they heard my voice, they said, okay, you're the lead singer. And so from there, I kind of like, and I was young at the time. I was only like 15. And then I kind of gave it up because at that time, you know, you get married. I had a boyfriend. I got married. By 21, I was married. But by about the age of 24, I was back in the business again. I had bumped into some people I had met, and there was a lot of session work going on. So as soon as I got back into the recording studios as a session singer, that's once again how I was found. You know, I sang on so many phenomenal albums. You know, Electric Light Orchestra, that was my big break. Jimmy Iovine was the engineer at the record plant, New York, engineering Jeff Lynne's, Electric Light Orchestra Face the Music album. And I was coming up with some vocal parts. Jeff was like, you know, he was very open to all the musicians, like, what do you hear? And he was the kind of producer that lay it down and then in the mix, either use it or you don't use it. So I was coming up with parts, and so were other, you know, the other singers. And Jimmy Iovine was very impressed, and we shared a cab going home, and he says, you know, you should have your own band. So I said, yeah, just like that I can get, you know, how do you get your own band? I mean, I'm working on Wall Street at the time. And he formed a band for me. And then I got signed to RCA, had two albums.
What was the name of the band?
Well, Flame.
Okay.
First album was Queen of the Neighborhood, and the second album was self-titled, Flame. You can find it on eBay. It's on vinyl. And a lot of people have now downloaded it. You know, it's free streaming all over the place, you know, as we don't have a music industry anymore. So everything is, unfortunately, you know, nobody makes money, only touring. So, yep, it's online. I sing, and I also sang with Aerosmith, which also was Renegade, Humble Pie, Billion Dollar Babies. They had a, they had a great album out. My word, I'm like, I'm like so many. Margie and the Formations was the first record that I did. So that charted at number 22. And that those were singles back then when you recorded. In the olden days, I guess you can call it that. And I still sing. I mean, I still do recordings for whoever records. I do background vocals and arrangements. And I play out every weekend with a group called Generation Gap. So in New York City, we were always working. People love all the songs that we do because we do all the good stuff from every decade, even top 40 now. So I'm lucky I get to work all the and do what I love to do.
I love
it. It's a blessing.
Marge, you know, in closing, we got a couple minutes left. I just want to thank you for your support over the years of Rockers in Recovery. And you've come down and you did the fest 1 year and you came and spoke with some people at a detox center. You really put a lot of effort into your recovery.
Right.
You're one of those people that I look up to as far as somebody with long-term recovery that I know really does the footwork. And I want to thank you for being a part of the Rockers in Recovery show tonight. Where can people find you online?
Okay, all you have to do is Google or just, you know, use any of the search engines, Marge Raymond, and all of my social media comes up. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, my margeraymond.com. I mean, I'm all over the place. So anybody can find me. I'm very approachable, you know, especially if you message me and you're in recovery and you want to talk, I'm always there. I like to say that one of the first things I did when the internet came out, I was one of the first people to start recovery online for people that were homebound. So that was almost like a groundbreaking thing. There's a lot of people who cannot get out of their house, who are homebound, albeit they're blind or they're disabled in some form. But they definitely are addicted as well. That was a big breakthrough, and I realized how many people were helped like that. So I'm approachable. Find me online. I will talk to you if you have, you know, if you're looking for recovery. John is phenomenal in his Rockers in Recovery and knows a lot of people and how people can get into rehabs and it's just the help is there if you want it. I leave people with this. If for whatever reason and the disease has you in its clutches, pray for the willingness to want to get sober. Just for the willingness, because it's the grace of God that really can come in and relieve you of this horrific, fatal disease. I hate to say it, but it is fatal. You know that. So thank you, John. It was my pleasure to speak, and thank you, and good luck, and all the wonderful things you do for recovery. It's greatly appreciated.
God bless, Marge. We'll talk soon.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye, John.